Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010 presents Conducting a Large-Scale Door-Knocking Campaign with Brother Jerry Furso. Brother Furso oversees the outreach and soul-winning ministries at Lancaster Baptist Church. This audio recording is a free resource from Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn them to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And you made it to the last session. I mean, right now your cup is pretty full right now. Is that where it's at? But I hope it's been a blessing to you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of the leadership conference. I pray that's been a help and a blessing to you. Let's look at this amazing verse here. Start at verse number 6, where the Bible says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad." Isn't that amazing? I mean, as you think about that, this church, Paul was commending them regarding their fervency of getting the gospel out. And I love that little statement. "And from you sounded out the word of the Lord." And then he says this. Look at this last statement. "So that we need not to speak anything." Let that sink in for a minute. You know, the Apostle Paul and his missionary team arrives here in Thessalonica, and they began to knock on doors, and as soon as they, "Hi, my name is, Paul, and we're here to share the gospel," and, "Oh, we already know about it." Go to the next door, knock on the door, got the same response. After about doing that for a couple hours, Paul said, "You know what? These people have already done it. This church, man, no matter where we went, these people knew about Christ." Isn't that our desire? That our community would have that knowledge of who Christ is and what Christ has done, and have knowledge of your church and this church about, just the power of the gospel of Christ. And it's just amazing what we need to do. How we do this, though, is we do this one person at a time. We do it one door at a time. And we need to realize that we want to reach everyone with the gospel. So let me give you a couple ideas regarding this, and we'll kind of, how do we, conduct a large scale of a door knocking campaign? Number one is the why. Why are we doing this? Let's pray. Father, we do pray that you'd bless our time, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to grab hold of some of these thoughts and these truths, and I pray there'd be a help and a blessing, Lord, to these men. And we ask this now in Christ's name. Amen. What's the why behind it? Is there a rational reason to conduct an outreach campaign? And the answer to that is yes. And the answer is simply this: because people are dying and going to hell. I remember a message years and years ago about the pastor was talking about on this, I think it was a cowboy breakfast event, and he was riding a horse, and a young man came up to him and said, "Hey, look, I'm having a struggle about, what type of a preacher I should become, a deeper lifer or just somebody that would just, preach heaven real and hell hot." And the pastor said this question. He said, "Is there a hell?" And about 5 minutes later, the young pastor rode up to that seasoned pastor and asked him the same question. He said, "But I'm really struggling between these two. What type of a pastor I ought to be?" And the pastor responded with that statement: "Is there a hell?" I think, gentlemen, what we need to get reminded about, that there is an eternity. And every single person that you'll see in your community will either spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And I think we know that theologically. I think we understand that. But has it sunk down from our mind and, you know, our brain to our heart, where it affects how we live our lives? You know, we make this statement that our beliefs ought to affect our behavior. The belief in a hell, a real hell, and a belief in a real heaven, that ought to cause us to live differently. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, the Bible says, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let me give you a couple thoughts. First of all, we see the condition of the harvest. First of all, we see right here in this passage of Scripture, we see that there are people that are powerless. The Bible says they were scattered, that they fainted. They were without strength. There are people in your community, in our community, that are endeavoring to achieve heaven by their good works. But after a while, guess what? They can't do it. I remember witnessing to a couple on a Tuesday night, sitting in their living room, and as we began to open up the Word of God, it got down to about Romans 6:23b, okay? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Began to explain to them that salvation is a gift. It's something that you don't earn. It's not something you even deserve. It's something that Christ purchased for them, and he offers it to them as a free gift. And I remember at that very moment, the lady began to cry. And I'm not just talking about a few tears rolling down her cheek. I'm talking about the type of a cry that kind of makes you nervous sitting in there. That uncontrollable weeping type of a crying. Where I looked at the husband looked at me, and we kind of just shrugged our shoulders. Didn't know exactly know what to do at that moment. And then finally, after a few moments, she finally got her composure, and she looked at me, and she said this. She said, I always knew that. She said, it makes sense because I have tried my very best to work my way to heaven. But there was something inside of me always telling me that I'd never make it. And it was just that overwhelming, number one, relief and understanding that, listen, that we can't do it. Amen? But that's why Christ came. And so we need to see the powerless. We need to see the aimless, where the Bible says they were scattered abroad. Man, there's people throughout our valley. They're scattered. We need to see the people. We need to look into their eyes, and we need to see their hearts and realize, number three, we need to see the hopeless and how they are without hope. And we need to share the great hope with them, and that's Christ. We need to see the conditions of our valley and of our communities. We see the command here, the command. Jesus told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The command is undeniable. The command is universal. And the command is unmistakable. It is very clear for each and every one of us to grab hold of this command that God has commissioned us to take the wonderful message of Christ to every single person. So I think we understand the why. Let's go to the how. The how. Can we realistically take on the challenge of reaching our community? Okay? Can we realistically take on the challenge of reaching our community? Now, how can we do this? Okay? It begins, number one, with the pastor. Okay? And everything flows through the ministry and the vision and the ministry of the pulpit within our churches. And it's something that, you know, pastor's never done this, but he might come to me and say, you know, hey, I want you to have a big outreach, you know, program, you know, go do that. But if it's not promoted, if it's not talked about from the pulpit, it's not going to get done. And the reason why is because there's not a priority then. And so it begins with that pastor and having just that vision where there is no vision, the people perish. And so the pastor needs to come to the point of realizing, hey, this valley for us, This is our Antelope Valley right here. This is our Jerusalem. This is the area that Pastor Chapel desires and he lives for to reach this community, these homes, these people, with the gospel of Christ. Now, pastors, if we have senior pastors in here, you have a map. You have an area of your community. And that needs to be, you know, at the forefront of your heart and mind that this is what God's given to you to reach. And then not only is there the pastor that kind of just has that vision, but then there needs to be a point man. Because the pastor has, honestly, too much to do. I know our pastor is very, very busy, and he's very connected into our outreach programs here at the church, but he can't do it all. And so all I am, to be honest with you, I'm just an extension of him. I'm just representing him in different settings. Just as like the leadership conference, you know, Brother Schmidt and Brother Christensen were extensions of pastor and conducting different meetings and leading different groups of people to make, you know, this conference successful and a blessing to each of you. You know, pastor, yes, he gives oversight. And as staff men, we're all accountable to him. But he can't do everything. And so he needs some Timothys. He needs some people that will come alongside and to be a help. But not only is there the pastor appointment, then there's that preparation. That preparation of getting everything ready for that, you know, what we would call just the big campaign of knocking on every door and reaching into the community. There's that preparation, and I hope you realize that even like the leadership conference, that we didn't start planning our leadership conference last week. Okay? And honestly, this conference started last year. And honestly, our 25th has already started, because that's a big one. But what's so important is when we prepare, we're able to think and we're able to get along with God and get his mind and gain wisdom and think the day through in our minds and our hearts. And when we do that, guess what happens? We're able to get answers for questions before they even come. So when a church member comes and says, well, how about this? Well, we say, here, this is what we're doing. Here's the answer to that. And so it helps our members to sense and to feel that we're moving forward and they're just kind of coming alongside of us and enjoying what has already been prepared. You think about, you know, people like at the cooling station. You know, just a little thought, but there was some preparation there. And guess what? There's a team of people that are serving there. But guess what? A lot of that work has already been done. And just say, you stand here and pass out water bottles and greet people. Hey, I could do that. And the same thing in the area of just outreach. It's just that preparation. Number four is this, prayer. We kind of mentioned that already. But then number five is the plan. The plan of just getting people involved in the plan of thinking everything through and putting that plan together of saying, okay, what are we going to accomplish? Number six is this, is the people. The people. I'm not reading all the verses, but with a large scale, like, for example, of our open house, we want to knock on every single door in our valley. What we need to do, this is the key, and Brother Juan, you probably remember us doing this. We would use a term, it's called buttonhole. Okay, in other words, I would go to somebody and say, hey, this coming Saturday we're having our big outreach. Would you be my partner? Would you go with me? You know what I'm doing? I'm buttonholing him. I'm asking him, would you go with me? Now, sometimes they can, maybe because of work, maybe because of another commitment. But may I say this? A lot of times, people are sitting there waiting for someone to ask them. And if we would just put forth the ask, hey, will you come along with me? Now, I'll ask 10 guys to go out with me. Now, I can't go out with each and every one of them, but we all can go out in the van together, and we can knock on doors together, go in, you know, different areas in that community, and then jump in the van and grab a bite to eat together and have fellowship together and reflect on what took place and rejoice about maybe people who are saved or people that were committed to come to the open house or whatever the event is. But we need to get people involved in it. And I know that sometimes, you know, you'll get some no's. No, thanks. But you want to know something? Next time when something comes around, ask again. And just keep on asking. And people will sense that, hey, this is something I want to be a part of. Because then they'll hear about the testimonies. They'll see people getting saved and say, man, I wish I was a part of that. How many of you can look back and say, man, I wish I was a part of Apple when they first came out. Wish I'd have bought some stock in Apple. How many got some regrets about that? All right? You know what? You say, man, I wish I was on that. You know something? There's people who say, man, I wish I was a part of that open house. I wish I was a part of that. Man, I could have been, but next year I'm going to be a part of it. And so you want to get people involved and ask, make that commitment. Throw it out and ask them about that. Number 7 is this, is passion. Passion. And as leaders, we need to have that passion in our heart to be excited about reaching people with the gospel. Now, you can have passion for a year. You can have a passion for 2 years. But if you're gonna make this a long haul and be involved in reaching people, there needs to be something that's burning deep inside of you. And I hate to say this, but people will feed off of your passion. People, listen, what does the Bible say? Follow his faith. In other words, the church is challenged to follow the faith of the pastor. How many were here Sunday night? Is anybody here Sunday night? Okay. You know, pastor kind of shared some vision for the 25th year. Talked about some buildings. How many of you think there was probably some church members who got a little bit nervous about that? Huh? Because they probably, for some, that they just kind of heard some of that. Now, for years now, we've been doing that. But there's new members that say, whoa. But then you heard some statements after that. You know, we serve a recession-proof God. You know what pastor's saying? Hey, I got faith in God. And they'll hear a message about following your pastor's faith. And in this area of just, you know, passion, there, people will come alongside of you because they see the passion that you have about reaching people. And so passion is, man, we've got to do this. And, man, we get to do this. And, man, people are dying all around us. So that passion, then, of course, we need God's power. We need God's power upon our lives. You know, this is not something that we can work up and just do. We need his anointing upon our lives. And we need that power. So we see the how and see the why, but look at the who. What type of churches step out and take on a challenge like this? Churches that dare to step out with a radical faith. A faith that's alive. A faith that believes in God's word. A faith that believes that God can do it. I'll tell you what, when we watched that little video clip that about Dr. Bobby Robertson some of the great heroes of our faith. And, you know, men that really just, hey, they did it. God's hand was upon their ministries. I don't know about you, but I got there, I was weeping, and I was, man, God, you can do it again. God, you have to do it again. And we look at those men and we think, you know, that was yesterday. No, listen, we serve the same God. And he has the same power. And we need to believe in our hearts that, listen, we need to have that same radical faith that would step out and say, you know what, to get out of the boat and walk in some deep water. You know, let's get away from the shore, amen, and let's launch out in the deep. That's where the fish are at. And so it's so important that we need churches that will step out with that radical faith. And let's be honest, let's remember what the Bible says. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And anything that's done not in faith, the Bible says it's sin. So if it's something that we can comprehend, something that we can, you know, that we can put our arms around, listen, that's not a faith, and God's not going to bless that. We need to get out there on the limb and say, Lord, we need you. This is not something that, you know, we can handle. This is not something that we can just organize. God, we need your power upon our lives to accomplish this for you. We need his help. And we need to challenge our people and realize that we need to be churches of faith. But not only that, but churches that are willing to do something different. We've done some things here and that you know, we've never heard of before. I remember when we went to two services here. I mean, we just had to do it. We finished this building, and about 6-7 months right after that, right after our grand opening, it was on January 9th. And we had our opening service, grand opening. And we had Dan Quayle here. And the place was packed up. People were standing outside and looking in. And about a week after that, Pastor says, we underbuilt. We didn't build big enough. But when we walked through, we said, well, are we ever going to fill this? But it was amazing. And guess what we had to do after a while? We had to go to two services. I remember how pastors struggled with that. He called different pastors. They said, well, we never heard of that. We don't need to do that. And he called people that were bigger in numbers, but they never went to two services. So I remember how that we did something different, and it was something that he prayed about, and Pastor really thought, hey, we got to do this. And the reason why is just to make room for people to come. And so churches must be willing to sometimes do some different things. We have different outreaches, but be willing to just go out there and realize, hey, we got to do this for the Lord. Number three is this, churches are that are passionate about making a difference. And there needs to be staff members that come alongside their pastor and say, you know what? I'm going to have that same passion, that same desire that our pastor has to reach people with the gospel of Christ. Number four, churches that are not afraid of hard work. Churches that are not afraid of hard work. I'll be honest with you. To knock on every single door in the valley, now, of course, I don't do that personally in 10-day period. It would be impossible. But I want to do my part. And I want to make sure that I'm, you know, at least on the leading edge of leading that charge. And so I must be willing to be spent. And we must be willing to pour out ourselves and roll up our sleeves and just really go out there and knock on those doors and get people excited about doing that. But we need to lead that charge. We need to be the example setters. We're the leaders. But we must be willing to roll up our sleeves and work hard. And number five is churches that believe in an all-powerful God. Churches that believe in an all-powerful God. Now, what I put in the back there is just a soul-winning table. You know, maybe when we're done, you can take a look at it. It may not be anything fancy. Maybe some of you have something like that. But we've been doing it for years. Honestly, I never saw it until I came here. I was a part of a soul-winning church, but you know, normally what we did is that we met together and we just took tracks from the track rack and just went out and went everywhere we wanted. We went anywhere we wanted to. But when people come in, they'll see. We want to have a visual for them. We want them to sense that what we're about to do is big. It's important. And may I say this, soul winning is important. And reaching people, the gospel is important. And so we just want to be prepared in doing that. And what we do for a big map like this, we don't do this year-round, but for special soul-winning days, you know, we'll map out our whole community, and then we'll take markers, and when those maps get turned in, being completed, we begin highlighting those streets. And undoubtedly, this is what happens. Some of you will walk in, and they're going to go see where they live and to see if their street got done yet. And they're going to look at it. And what's exciting is seeing that the whole community gets done. And you might say, well, we can't do that right now. Well, you may want to just take, okay, how about East Lancaster? We'll just hit that area. Let's see if we can do that maybe this summer. Knock on all those doors. I believe there's probably 15,000 doors right in this neighborhood. So let's knock on these 15,000 doors this summer. Whatever it is, but whatever goals you set, all this board is, it's a visual. It's a visual saying, okay, what's the task at hand? What are we going to try to accomplish? Then it's a visual for people to see the progress that's being done. And it gets people excited about, they come and say, man, look how much we've done. And so, you know, a visual aid like this is very helpful for people. It gets them excited. Now, you might be saying, it's just a map. But people look at that, and it's amazing. And also what we do is we have, for sign-ups for special days like this, and we don't do it for a normal Saturday, but for special days, we do sign-ups through our adult classes. Where a teacher will stand up and say, okay, listen, coming up on such and such date, we're having a big outreach, and we're going to pass around a clipboard, and boy, I want to encourage everybody to come out and be a part, pick a day, but if you'll commit yourself to come out and go sowing, I want you to sign up on the clipboard. So we pass around a sign-up sheet that has the date of when they're going to go out. They pick a date, and they pick a time, and we're just keeping it before the people, and it's a constant thing. One of the first areas where people begin to back off in is in soul winning. And so you always want to kind of keep it before them and encourage them in that area. Okay. Does anybody have any questions about this? Okay. Yes. Right.
But sometimes
right.
Okay,
very good question. And we get a lot of that. Okay, a couple things that we do. Okay. For gated communities, we never send our church family into those areas. The reason why? Because undoubtedly someone's going to come up to you and say, hey, you got to leave. This is private property. And they're going to get confronted. So we don't want to put our members in that situation. Gated communities, I go to those. And when I go out, if I take a couple staff guys out, we'll hit gated communities. And normally, sometimes we'll be able to do the whole community. Sometimes we get 10 doors and someone comes up and says some things. Now, if it's a homeowner, normally what we kind of do, this is my protocol and how I handle it. After about the third one, I leave. Okay, if I just get one person that complains, I just keep going. But after the third one that complains, say, hey, you know, this is a gated community, you're really not supposed to be here, I honor that, and then I go around, pick up my guys, and then we leave. Okay? But not only do we do that, but we do also mailings. Okay? Now, for us, the only way, Amy, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the only way that we could mail is by zip codes. And so, you know, unless we had specific addresses for, you know, a gated community. And we know where our gated community is at. We have, all this broken down on smaller maps, the little area. But like this area right here, this area right here is a gated community right here. Okay? And so we just can't mail to that area, but we can mail to this zip code. And for us, most of our gated communities is in the 93536 area. Okay? So we'll do direct mailing to those areas. So a lot of times, there's a couple times a year. You heard Pastor, I think, in the first session this morning about we do mailings. Okay? And so a lot of our mailings will direct them to those gated areas because they don't get as much door knocking, okay, for that reason. Okay, now for the no soliciting signs, normally what this is what we tell our soul winners, our church members. Okay? If you see a no soliciting sign, just put a track on the door, don't knock. Okay? Just hang it and go to the next door. Okay? We also, on our maps, okay, we have a little section that says do not knock, okay? And we put those addresses in that are highlighted. Let's say I live on Tally Street. So if my house was a do not knock, it would have Tally Street, that because it's highlighted, that's the area they're going to. And then in the corner it would have 43461. Those people have called the church and they asked us, please do not knock on our door again. Okay? So we have probably we have a couple hundred that have done that, okay? They have called and asked us, and we do our very best. And normally they do call when someone goes out there and knocks on their door, and we normally get an earful, and normally I just apologize, say, I'm sorry, we do have you on our do not knock list, and so we try to honor their request on that, okay? Oh, okay.
Saved us about $15 million.
Wow.
The other thing on no soliciting through David Gibbs organization, we took a piece because we're not soliciting, we're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And we made a little brochure based on the approaches. We shared that with them and left it with them. So that's helped us out a couple of occasions. It sounds like this week.
Yeah. And the reason why I think I've seen that piece of paper. The reason why we don't, because when someone says that, you know what they're doing? They're being argumentative, and that's all. And we don't. What I try to do is this for our church family. I don't want to put them in those positions. You know why? Because they'll get discouraged. And so I want to make it. You can't protect them totally, okay? But you try to make it where when they go out, they enjoy it. You know, like wow, that was. A great, time to go out there soul winning. They have a map. Amy, do we have any maps back there? Okay, if you can, real quick. We have a map, and the map is, it has several streets on it, but we only highlight two or three streets. We try to highlight approximately 50 doors, okay? And so that's how we kind of do it. And now for like Operation Anniversary, we doubled that because we challenged the people to knock on about 100 doors. And so we doubled the highlight. And so basically they do the highlight. What we try to finish the map because it's hard to pick up where they left off, okay? So we try to really encourage them. Sometimes they'll keep the map and do it for 2 weeks, and that's fine. We kind of discourage that because a lot of times they'll lose it, okay? But I hope that's a help to you. Yes, sir?
As far as the map goes,
the big map?
Yes, sir. What about on like a monthly or a weekly basis? Are you taking a section of the town? How do you teach
Okay. For us, this is now, our church is a little bit different, okay, because we've transitioned through growth, okay? And the way we do it now, we door knock through our adult classes. Every adult class has an area. And so every area in our valley is already pre-assigned. And so through a what I call just a non-big push time, okay, just a normal Saturday, a class has an area to door knock. And they have those maps in their folder. Does that make sense? Okay. Amy, if you could, great. Why don't you bring that up here real quick. This is, whose class is that? Okay. So this is my class, the Home Builders class. And these are the maps for this coming Saturday that we're going to do. Okay. And so we have the different streets. Let me just give you one, pass them around, okay? If you get them back to Amy back there so that we don't lose those. Okay, so you can at least get an idea. If we put it in that side, Matthew, there you go. And just kind of pass that around so everybody kind of gets the idea. And you look at, we don't really highlight, you know, a great number, but we try to do about 50 doors. Now we're off sometimes a little bit. And the first time around when you're doing it, now with Google, what is it, Google, when you see it from the world, Google Earth, okay? Good night. You know, last time we did for operations, I said, Amy, if you have some questions, go to Google Earth and count the doors. Now, let's be honest. Now, if you're doing that for a lot, that that's a lot of time. But sometimes there's an area that you wonder, okay, is there homes there? There are streets there, but is there homes? Now, on her master map book, okay, we have the whole valley broken down to maps like this, the whole valley, okay? So this is just one little section, 70th West, just this section right here. That's what this map is, and we've broken it down, just this one little street right here, two little streets that are highlighted. But we have on this, maybe some streets there's no homes, so we highlight that in our master map book, a color like blue, let's just say, and blue represents there's streets, but there's no homes. So we know that what we don't want to do is pass this out, and then the guy comes back and says, well, I was out there, but there's no homes. All right, now you remember this. In the earlier time, we were kind of building all up to that, and we would keep track of that. So you may have to start at that where you're sending out, you know, every area is different, but, you know, some of your areas like Vegas, you're going to have some areas where there's homes, but no one's living them in yet. So you're going to have to keep track of that so you're not giving those maps out because you'll frustrate people and you're wasting their time, okay? But through this, though, we're strategically going through our valley, and our people know where they're going, so they're not wasting time, and they're not knocking on the same doors every week, okay?
Is there a map program, or is it just a book?
And we, you know what, is this Thompson? Okay, this is a Thomas guy. We use this. It helps. The reason why we use this now for visitors, we use a different map, you know, something from the computer. We like this because we're able to see how to get there for our church members. Sometimes they, you know, maps are kind of blown up so much you don't know how to get there. But this right here we have for our valley, okay? That Thompson guide works the best, okay? Okay, for us, okay, the homes around this church, there's none right across the street, but a mile away. Recently, I just went over there, I went out there without a map, just kind of do like a little survey, not a survey, but just trying to sense from the people how often we've been there, okay? And I hate to say this. I talked to several different people, and I said, you know, every week someone knocks on our door. Well, we try to monitor through the maps, okay? And then we know who it is. It's college students because they just don't follow the system, okay? They just go out and do their own thing. Because what it is, it's like this, okay? It's Tuesday afternoon. They have some time to kill. Hey, let's go soul winning. So where do they go? They just jump. They don't come and ask us for a map. They just drive to Cooperstown right over here on 30th and I, and they knock on those doors. What they don't realize is that they're frustrating the people. So what we try to do, okay, realistically, okay, we knock on probably every door about 6 times a year. Okay? We map out, okay, turning in maps probably, about four times. So they're getting door knocked 2 times without us even knowing it. And the reason why, because there is an overlap. And the overlap comes in these three areas: bus, Spanish, and teens. And we only have about 86,000 doors that we can knock on. And that's it. Now, I know that sounds like a lot, but if you have 500 people go out a week, you do the math. You know what I'm saying? And so they're getting a lot of doors. And that's why we have other different ministries too that kind of do soul winning just a little bit different than just the door knocking. We have to have that because we'll kill our community. Okay? Now we believe in this. We believe in cultivation. And when we believe in saturation, if you could write those two words down, those are, hey, what time are we supposed to be done? Anyway, I'm sorry. Oh, 3:20? Okay. Those two words right there are so important because what we want to do, when I first came out here, Pastor, this was all Palmdale over here. Let's see where I'm at. This is Palmdale down here. When I came to Lancaster 20 years ago, Pastor said this, we haven't really door knocked Palmdale. He said, I really want you to own Palmdale. So the first few years, all my door knocking was Palmdale. You could ask Brother Rasmussen, hey, Brother Firstel takes you to go out soul winning. Where is he going to take you? He's going to tell you, Palmdale. That was just my area, and it was the area that Pastor wanted me to own. And so I went through Palmdale. And so basically, I was just, you just want to saturate that area. And the idea is this, is that once you saturate and then you have a special day, it helps your soul winners to, when you knock on the door, I know that church. And it helps them, you know, as they go out. Okay? And so you don't want to make soul winning easy. You want to, but you really can't. But you want to make it a little bit more easier for your church members where they sense like, hey, man, we're accomplishing something here. You know, we're seeing God work, and, you know, that was, you know, exciting and helpful. So that saturation, you want people to think, okay, I need to go to church. Where am I going to go? You want them to think of your church. And at times, the only way you can start that is by saturating your community. Just saturate, saturate, saturate. And some of that is a little bit more what I call just canvassing. Okay? This is how I break it up in my own mind, okay? Three ways that I go out soul winning. Okay, here they are. Number one, I canvass. Now, my canvassing is more, my goal is to knock on as many doors as possible. And I break up my soul ring throughout my week in each of these three segments, and the reason why, it keeps me fresh in my heart as I go out soul winning. Okay, so, you know, please don't take this wrong, okay? I'm not, you know, bragging or anything like this, but I've been doing this now here for 20 years. Okay, so I have to, in my own heart, I don't want to lose my heart in this. You know what I'm saying? I want to keep that heart, and so what I have to do so I don't fall into what I would call just a soul winning rut, I kind of break up my soul winning. So my first segment is I just do a canvas, and that's a little bit more of a, hi, my name is Jerry from Lancaster Baptist Church, and I was just in your community today, and just going through meeting some people, and just seeing, you know, their response to see how they're, you know, maybe it's bad timing or, you know, just see how they're responding to just my opening comments. But then from there, I'm just kind of giving a friendly invite, and I'm going to the next house. So I'm more of a canvas, okay? Then my second one is where I'm really trying to get people committed. I'm looking and say, okay, I'm gonna try to get people committed and build up, you know, prospects that will come to church. So more of a trying a little bit more, maybe spending a little bit more time at the door. Okay, so I'm spending, you know, more time at that door, so I'm not going to get as many doors. Now my third way I go out is I want to witness at every door. I don't witness at a door when they're closing the door, but I'm still trying to talk to them. Not that, but I'm trying to. My goal is I want to share the gospel. And what happens when I rotate those, okay? So like on Monday afternoon, normally what I do on Monday, because I'm a little bit zoned out a little bit, I'm going to just do Canvas. I'm going to go out a little bit light, just kind of meet some people and put them, you know, if I meet anybody that's looking for a church or they're new or something like that, I'll put them on my prospect list. Tuesday, no doubt, Tuesday is more of a soul-winning day. I'm taking men with me. And so I'm more witnessing. That's my frame of mind. Wednesday when I go out, I'm spending a little bit more time. I'm just more, you know, more of a commitment type of approach, trying to find commitments. And so I'm trying to do that. Friday's more soul winning. And Saturday for me, I hardly knock on doors on Saturday, to be honest with you. Saturday, Tuesday nights are big days for me for follow up. I go back and everybody that were prospects during the week, I go back and revisit them. And so it keeps me fresh in my own heart when I go out soul winning. And so I kind of break it up a little bit so I don't fall in any ruts. Now, for our church members, okay, our church members don't go out 4 times a week, okay? That's obvious, right? Okay, so when they go out, we try to encourage them, man, witness. Man, look for those opportunities. Share the gospel and, you know, have discernment. You know, if they're not interested, at least give a friendly invite. Okay, but for them, but for staff people, you're going to be going out a lot. And so you're going to have to keep yourself fresh so you don't, what I would say, just fall in some bad habits. Okay, does that make sense? I hope that does. Now, if I'm on Monday, okay, and it's just, you know, just I'm kind of going kind of light, but if someone says, you know, what must I do to be saved? Well, I have to come back Tuesday, okay, and talk to you. I don't do that, okay, but I seize those opportunities. But in my mind, in my heart, I'm trying to knock on more doors versus just knocking on a few doors, okay? Typically, let me just kind of tell you some typical numbers here, okay? It takes right now, okay, it's changed through the years. If I knock on 100 doors when I first came here, the first 5 years, I knock on 100 doors, I would have 10 good prospects, 10 strong families to work on. Now, I knock on 100 doors, and I'll have one. It's just different now. And so I realize that those are overall numbers, because out of those 100 doors I knock on, probably 50 of them are not home. Okay, let's be honest. Okay, then out of that 50, you know, you're gonna have a lot of them that go to other churches that they're not really interested in coming to your church. And so you start looking at that, you start breaking that down. So honestly, out of that 100, you're really talking to maybe 10 people. And out of those 10 homes, you got one that's really interested. So as staff people, I would just say this. Okay, you say, well, how's your prospect list? How's your sweetheart list looking? How many do you have on it right now? Well, none. Well, how many doors have you knocked on? Well, we knocked on, you know, last week, 25 doors. Well, of course, you're not going to have too many. You see what I'm saying? And so as staff people, okay, I'm talking about staff, not church members, but staff people, you have to really look at that, and you wonder, okay, why don't I have more prospects following up on? It's probably because you're not going out as much, okay? So it's important, you know, to work that, okay? Any other questions? As a class?
As
a church, okay. Right now, this is our valley. We own all this. This right now, everything on this map is mapped out in one of these files. How many miles you're asking? Oh, I see what you're saying. Let's see. To the west side, this is 70th. So we're 40th, so 70th. The division, that's the 7 miles. And then we're 40th, so four more, so that's 11 miles. So from 70th is 11 miles over here, the farthest point. Okay? Now, Roseman's up here north, and they're about 15 miles from us. And we do door knocking. We just don't have a map because it's Kernville. And then Palmdale's on here, and Little Rock's out here. Little Rock, Lake LA is probably the farthest one that we go to, and they're probably about 15, 20 miles out. All together, we have about 300,000. Yeah. So probably the farthest way, because the mountains are a big barrier for us. Okay. Now, we do door knocking on special days on the other side of the mountain, but people look at us weird. Like, what are you doing way over here? You're in Lancaster. Okay. But it's only about 30 minutes away. But because of those mountains, those are just barriers for us. And it's hard to get over that. Okay. No. On those big days like that, we're looking more for a commitment or witnessing. Okay? We're for our church family, even on the, like, okay, like 10 days, we can knock on every door. More of a commitment. Hey, will you be my guest for the open house? And what we do, though, from that, they get their name and address. That's a commitment. A commitment, a prospect to me is always this. I got their name, I got their address, and I got their phone number. I got their address already. I'm standing at their door, okay? But once I get their name, I always ask, well, what's your address? I know what it is. I'm standing there, but they give it to me. And then I ask them for their name or for their phone number. Once I got that information, okay, they're a good prospect because they're giving me their personal information. Now, this is how I get their phone number because the phone number is great. I don't ask them, can I have your phone number? Because now they have to make a decision. Do I want to give it to them? I always just say this. What's your name? I'm sorry. Greg. I say, Greg, and your number is? And your number is. And your phone number is. And guess what? They always give it to me. But I've already talked to him, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I spent time, 10 minutes, talking about, you know, he's a Dodgers fan or he's got a motorcycle in the driveway. I just don't knock on the door. Hi, my name's Jerry. Hey, what's your name? Hey, what's your address? I don't do that. Okay? We've already connected. And may I say this? When you go out soul winning, be discerning. You know, the key to soul winning is timing. And right now, if I knocked on Greg's door, it may not be really the right time to knock on his door. Maybe he's running late for work. But if I could always leave a good impression. And remember this, keep the door open for the next visit.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.